But we've been on a journey the last several weeks, and this class is unique in that it's primarily about teaching us our identity. We've been in the book of Ephesians, and what we've said is our new identity is not that of a sinner. The new identity is that of a saint, in that we've been redeemed. God has set us apart. He's given us a new purpose, a new name, a new focus. The old has passed, the new has come. And when we don't feel like that, we really, what we've said is, we look at our behaviors oftentimes and go, I don't behave like a Christian. But oftentimes what we have to do is come back and look at our beliefs. Our beliefs drive our behavior. And often when we don't behave right, we want to work on our behavior. We want to work on our kids' behavior. We want them to behave properly. And what's going on, it's not how they're behaving, it's what they're believing. And belief drives behavior. What this has been about, changing the way we see ourselves differently. A few weeks ago, we talked about really bondages and sins that get people stuck. But tonight, really, as we move into forgiving from the heart, this is why we're stuck. The Christian faith is built around forgiveness. We are reconnected with our God and Father who formed us in His thinking in eternity past through forgiveness. It's what the cross is about. It's why Christ came. Forgiveness is the foundation for that relationship. And what we find out in every other relationship in life, whether it be a marriage relationship, a relationship from parent to kid or kid to parents, all relationships really are going to succeed or fail based around this principle of forgiveness. We're either going to be good forgivers and we're going to grow in intimacy with each other, or we're not going to forgive and we're going to grow apart and we're going to grow embittered and we're going to live our lives pretty much miserable. And so tonight we're going to look at that. Justin, if you will, read 2 Corinthians 2. Listen to these. Here, I'm going to set this verse up. This was a church member who had been caught in sin, and the church had confronted him in Corinth. They had confronted him with his sin, and they had held him accountable. Listen to what Paul instructs them to do about this guy who they had caught in sin.
So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. For this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs.
Yeah. The conclusion of the matter is, Paul is asking them to forgive this gentleman who had repented of his sins, right? He said, don't hold his sins against him, because we don't want to be outwitted by Satan's schemes. It's noema, the same word, schemes, as thoughts. You need to forgive this brother so that you aren't outwitted by Satan's schemes. Forgiveness is at the core of spiritual warfare. Forgiveness, unforgiveness, and bitterness is at the core of how Satan gets his hook in relationships and people. Bitterness and unforgiveness is how Satan divides families, how he divides countries, how he divides relationships and churches and people. It's bitterness and unforgiveness. It's unforgiveness. It's failure to extend that. We could go into Jesus in the Lord's Prayer. Father, forgive those who trespass against us. You know, forgive our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's all throughout. I'm not going to settle there. Let's go to Matthew 18. Peter came to Jesus and asked the Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, he goes into the story. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began to settle, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him and he said, be patient with me. He begged and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I'll pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay off the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all your debts of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, the master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. forgiveness from the heart. Here's the question. Why do we sometimes feel that our sins aren't as bad as other people? They ask Jesus about forgiveness, and Jesus goes into a story about borrowing money from people. Because at the core issue of forgiveness is this sense of entitlement and what I'm owed. Forgiveness is about owing. Jesus uses money to teach about forgiveness, and what he says, there's a sense that people owe us things. And in this story, the man who owed was forgiven of his debts, but yet he continued to hold someone else's debts against him. The question is, why do we sometimes feel that our sins aren't as bad as other people's? Lack of self-awareness, okay. What else? Why do we typically see, and we pointed this out last class, I don't know if you got the numbers that were involved there, but basically, I won't get this exactly right, the man who was forgiven his debt owed an amount of money that could never be repaid. His debt, what's funny is when he says, let me work it off, financially it was impossible to pay it back. And the king says, you're forgiven. And then so he goes, finds a man that owes a day's wages. I mean, it's much less. It's not a lifetime of wages. And yet, you owe me. You see the picture in this? The story? This is a powerful parable. Why do we...
I think it's a devaluation of sin. What I'm about to say is probably just reiterating what John just said, but yeah, I think it all starts with, like you, I mean, my ESV footnote says a talent is 20 years' wages, and it's, he owed what? 1,000 talents? 10,000 talents? So I can't even do the math. A lot of zeros. And like you said, literally impossible to have been paid back, and I think we've devalued, like, I don't see my sin, or yours for that matter, as being something that literally cannot be paid off mm-hmm. by anything that I could, like, let me work it off, God, let me work it off. We've devalued sin so much, I have at least, that therefore it's easy to start comparing. There is no comparison because, you know, if you drown in a bucket of water and I drown in a pool of water, we're still both dead. You're not right. More dead or less dead. And I'm rambling a little bit.
No, I get what you're saying. So you guys are thinking about our sin, and that's the question, is really about our own sin. Again, Tim Keller, I love Tim Keller. He said, we're more deeply sinful than we ever imagined, and we're more deeply loved than we could ever fathom. God, it's crazy. We don't get how messed up we are, and we don't get how much he loves us. Those two things seem to be opposites, but in the gospel, Jesus brings them together through the cross and through the resurrection and the sending of the Holy Spirit. So here's the question. Let's turn this on its head. Think about this. So you think about, well, I'm bad. My sin, I can never pay my sin back. Jesus was my substitute. Well, what about all of those people who've sinned against you? What about the pain that's been inflicted in your life? I think get on my soapbox here, thinking Christianity, we're real quick to run and tell people, you got to forgive them, you got to forgive them, you're a Christian. And we don't even let people hurt. Because sin causes pain. And when people hurt you and sin against you, it hurts. It's painful. And a lot of times people they do things against us, and some of the biggest hurts that we've experienced are when we needed people to be there and they weren't there for us. It's the sin of being absent. It's the sin of the daddy that wasn't there to protect the daughter. It's the sin of the mama who didn't stand up to the man who was molesting her child. It's those types of deep-seated pain that we go, where were you? Why weren't you there to protect me? That pain is real. We should feel the pain. We've all been sinned against. People that you were dependent on have let you down. And if you've not gotten to it, the person that you've committed to be with the rest of your life, that person at times will let you down. Not because they intend to. That is what the nature of this is. But the question is, what happens now when we start applying the same principle to those who offended us.
I put down here, no matter how much you desire to get back at the person and make them suffer, they could never pay it back. We'll say, well, I'm going to make them pay. But the truth is that when you hold bitterness and unforgiveness, you're the one paying. The illustration is it's like taking poison and hoping the other person chokes and dies. And the sad thing is, the people that hurt us the most, we would all say, I never want to be like them. But holding on to what they did to you is making you like them. Do you see that? Like, we're like, I don't want to be that. But failing to let it go is turning us into that. That's what it does to us. That's why when you forgive, you're set free. And for a lot of people, freedom in Christ comes down to this issue. Why do we have broken homes? Why do we have broken churches? What's going on? We have people walking around with deep-seated bitterness and hurt. That's all it is. And as Scott pointed out, just a refusal to let it go and to forgive. I'll say this. Our repayment is not possible. We don't bring anything to the cross and say, Jesus, you know, thank you for dying and, you know, giving yourself for me, but I'm pretty good. Went to church this week, so Jesus plus, you know, church attendance or Bible study or whatever we try to bring into that. We receive it. It's a gift. We're blown away. It's by grace, which not earned. And it's the same forgiveness that we've received. Now we can extend that to other people. When I extend forgiveness, I can't look at what that person's done. I have to have one or both eyes back on the cross going, such is how God has treated me. And I forgive because I've been forgiven. We cannot walk in freedom. And we cannot saying we've been forgiven while refusing to let go of what mama, daddy, that business deal that went bad, that no good, that has got to get out of our system because we're the ones that will ultimately suffer. Yep. And here's what I want, what John shared and whatever. I want everybody to experience the freedom that God has for you. You're talking about, like, why am I so flat? Why is my spiritual life so drab? You're carrying a boat anchor. Just carrying it. And the cool part is, Jesus is extending his hands and saying this. Now, here's the deal. Part of the freedom, the prayer retreat, is just working through issues where people that you have where you've held on to bitter things in your life. Unless you resolve the past, you will not grow healthy into the future. And I'm convinced that the church is stuck because we try to disciple us and we're really stuck. We're stuck because we're still holding on to things. And so the prayer retreat is just simply a time. Anybody at any stage of life can benefit from it because all you're doing is saying, show me, God, are there any areas, are there any people that I'm still holding on to? It's amazing to me when you see people, oh, I dealt with that. Yeah, that time he took all my money and bankrupt, kicked me out and the kids. And they go into the story and they're talking about how they forgave them. And then you just hear them keep talking about it and it keeps coming up. If it keeps coming up, then it may not have been dealt with. And all of us have those people that we're around that when we get around them, our antenna go up spiritually. We're just like, it's still there. This is important to know and understand. What is forgiveness? It's not forgetting. We're not told anywhere to forget. I don't think we can humanly forget. This is really about resolving it and learning to live with it. It's not tolerating sin. This is not allowing somebody to stay in an abusive situation. Well, they're continuing to hurt me, and so I've got to forgive them. There may be some forgiveness there, but this is not lack of confrontation, and it's not lack of saying, you're hurting me. One of these power phrases that I put in here is to be able to say to somebody, you know, I want you to know that I love you, and I really want God's best for you, but I can't keep putting up with your verbal abuse and how you're treating me or my family or my children. My responsibility right now is to be the best husband, the best wife, the best employee, the best whoever, and what's going on between you and I right now is not doing me or you any good. If you're going to continue to treat me and abuse me this way, I'm going to have to stay away from you. There's nothing wrong with that. This is not, well, I got to sit here and I got to suffer. Look, we're going to suffer for Christ. There's no doubt about it. And part of the suffering is even in the absence, because sometimes we're absent from the people we really love and we want to see God change them. But sometimes God uses other people to do that. It's not seeking revenge. This goes back to unbelief. The reason we hold on to bondages is we don't believe God will really work it out. We believe, I got to jump in and kind of make them pay because I don't believe. When vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, you know, hand them over to let them be. I don't believe that. I know that's what the Bible says. I believe I'm the avenger. And so if I don't make sure that they get what's coming to them, they get off the hook. Forgiveness is not about letting them off the hook. It's about letting yourself off the hook. And this is a big one. This is a huge part of this teaching, and I've mentioned this before. Forgiveness is choosing to live with the consequences of other people's sin. John Piper recently tweeted, "Weep over your life that you had hoped would be. Grieve the losses. Then wash your face, trust God, and embrace the life that you have." We all are mourning over what we hoped would have been. Life does not turn out the way we had hoped. It doesn't. There's pieces it doesn't. The relationships, I'd hoped to be close with my mom or dad. It's not going to happen. I'd hoped to have a really close relationship with my brother or my sister. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. I'd hoped to have a close relationship with my child. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. I had hoped to meet this goal, to make this thing, to be here in my education or my finances, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Grieve it. Be sad. Wash your face. Get up and thank God for what you do have. This is the key. We all live with the consequences of other people's sin. Today, you are living with the consequences of other people's sin. This is not about changing it. It's about embracing it. We go to try to avoid that. We're like, well, mom and daddy wasn't there for me. Now I'm crazy. I'm messed up. So, you know, I'm going to try to fix that. You can't fix it. Paul said, I am who I am. And by the grace of God, you know, this is me. And so for us, we've got to embrace the real us, who we are. Accepting this will allow you to accept your life as it is, with all its imperfections and failures. There are many things you didn't choose, and because of the fall of Adam and the sin nature that is carried from generation to generation, we are all living with the consequences of other people's sin. This is about letting go of the past, choosing a future based on your new identity as a son and daughter of a perfect, powerful, all-powerful, loving Heavenly Father. That's what this is about. That's what forgiveness is. This is what ultimately this is for. Forgiveness is to set the captive free and to know that we were the captive.